do this every you people, you know the routine when I'm right. Just humor me. You know this man will wahala you until you stand up and praise our God. Eh? Just humor me. Praise ye the Lord. Grandma, you're excused. Over 80, excused. Over Abumi, you're excused. Please be seated. Let us pray. Bless us, O Heavenly Father. You have blessed us already with a beautiful day. But more than anything, with your Holy Spirit, you left him behind as a comforter and a reminder of your word. None of us will be here this morning if it be not for the Spirit who has held Satan at bay, who has made a way of escape in all our trials, who has kept the name of Jesus Christ burning in spite of all oppositions. So, Lord, we'll be remiss if we do not acknowledge your presence even now. The sun is yours, the moon is yours, that white thing outside, the way it thaws, refuses to. When it falls, when it doesn't. The trees, the fruits in their seasons, the breath that we are all taking without thinking about it. In you we live, we breathe, and have our being. We bless you, Lord. More than 2,000 years ago, you declare that the name of Jesus will not be vanquished. And we're here as living testimonies of the fulfillment of that prophecy. Father, we thank you. Give us today our daily bread. We need you every day. What you have planned for this moment, these times, this Sunday, what all of your beloved children, myself including, must hear. Father, I pray, Lord, that nobody will return from this service without hearing it. We've heard you in the songs we sang, in our fellowship one with another. Now, as we open the word that you said we never fail, Father, do not hide your word from us. Father, if there be sin, iniquity, that stuff of Achan, thou just will not allow your word to flow or your people to prosper and enjoy your presence. We plead mercy as always. Be merciful to us, overlook our transgression, Lord. Teach us from above, soften our hearts. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise ye the Lord. So this Sunday, we have angels with us. I know that by faith. But we also have people attending online that I don't think, and I've seen some names repeatedly. They're in fellowship with children, Sister Kikesri, and please just, you know how the duck name, follow the duck. Just follow her. So we also have brothers and sisters online who have been fellowshipping with us. I see Mommy Bejide. Mommy, can you smile and wave at us? She's constantly in fellowship. We love you and we thank you. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday to you. And you look lovely. And Sister Comfort is not here today. God bless you. We see you. Sister Fola Olubi and Mommy Olubumi are always joining Fort Myers from Fort Myers, Florida. You are with us. We are with you in spirit. Thank you very much. We pray that the Lord will bless you today. Sister Success. Sister Success. Sister Success. We love you. iPhone 3, we love you. Barakunle, we love you. Brother Shama, Brother Ephraim, and Sister Bathia, they are calling from northern, no, Eastern Nigeria and Northern Nigeria. We love you. Thank you. You are with us. Brother Usman, you normally would be here. We love you. Wow. Brother Usman, you're in Japan. Good midnight. Just to know we are one in the spirit and we acknowledge you. We bless the Lord for his presence with you. May the Sister Jackie, we love you. I'm trying to look for the irregular names. Okay, I think we're about it. So we thank the Lord for being with us. I'd like us to continue from where we left last week. I really would like to talk about moving higher as Christians and the deeper life as Christians, especially since we're expecting the coming of Jesus Christ at any point in time. Ultimately, in all that we accomplish, the ultimate accomplishment, why we live and breathe, why we've been through all of this palaver, this life, is that one day we will see Jesus and Jesus will say, well done. In fact, was it the Lord that said, what will it prosper a man if he were to gain everything in the world and to lose his soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? The most important thing, and I pray, and I often thought about that day, and the day is one day on the eternal calendar. When, I don't know if anybody here has ever, I think none of us has ever attended a Supreme Court proceeding, but I always imagined when your case has gone through all of the lower courts and now it's before the nine justices of the American Supreme Court. And they get to say what the fate is. And after that, there's no more appeal. I always think to myself, how frightful must it be for the person who is found guilty on that day? And when I'm happy, when I'm sad, I know that there's a day when we will stand before Jesus and there will be no tomorrow anymore. There will be no appeal anymore. There will be no other court. There'll be no other mercy, no nothing. It will be a day when the last word is spoken about our souls and our fortune. And for this day, Jesus came. On that day, there will be those who will hear the ultimate validation. One of them will be Lazarus, a man plagued with sores and horrible things all his life. Another one was a very rich and prosperous man who was plagued with everything, who had everything in life. But that day, they had the verdict for their soul. And as I speak now, it makes my heart tremble because many people have no other hope. Their judgment is already set because today they are dead. They cannot go back and fix things like the rich man wanted to go back and fix things. So we must always, like the book of Hebrews tells us, fix our eyes on that day. Labor for the day when Jesus Christ will come. And all of us will have the final verdict. The truth has been revealed to us, and our job every day until we meet Jesus is to make sure that we are aligned with our truth. So I began when we read, I read an article to us last Sunday, and I would just like to just read it again or summarize through it. Because this article, honestly, I think for me, what I struggle with today is not just whether some people know Jesus or not. I think the most sad, or most saddest, most sad, let's stay with most sad. Or say saddest thing, is not that someone who has not been granted the grace to know Jesus misses it. That's sad in of itself. It's that those of us who start the race are not able to finish it. To taste of the eternal hope, to taste of the knowledge of the Lord, and then to go back. To me, is the biggest tragedy, strategy too. And that's what, as Christians gather there, we must be aware of. That we have an active enemy who already knows that we know about the saving grace of Jesus. But let's not think he's resting. Everything we read about shows that adversary, the devil, is going about like a lion. He's not done. He's seeking whom he will eat alive. The apostles warned us about this. It says we should exhort one another every day so that none of us will go back. We are right at the edge. We are close to the finish line. We have taken the most important step. To us has been granted the good news of salvation in Jesus. It's not unto everybody that is granted, trust me. Majority of the world does not have the privilege of knowing that Jesus is Lord, of knowing that there's salvation in the Son of God. But to us, it has pleased the Lord that the world will be mixed with faith, and it has brought salvation. But we still must be careful. What has often happened is we always think that once we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, that is it. Satan is already dead on our case. He has moved on to the next person. But you and I know that is not the case. He will try to pollute the faith. He will try to deceive us. He will try to, what does the Bible call it? He said we should be careful so that nobody takes away our crown. I'd like to speak about that. So today it's the key to, for me, is the deeper life. My challenge is that we should not sit where we are, but let us go back to the spirit where we move higher. We're moving higher. Yes, we are. We're moving higher someday. We're moving above, going above the shadow into the presence of God, into the presence of Jesus Christ. If in this world only, if our hope is in our jobs, if our hope is in the things of this world, then of all men, says Paul, we are most miserable. But thank God we have a higher hope. And Jesus is that hope for us. Again, I repeat, not everybody has had the privilege. I think you just did not bother to put my digital clock anymore because I've not been paying attention to it. Okay, I ask for forgiveness. Don't worry, I'll soon be done with the series. But I want my clock. Make it 25 minutes. Right. I know you, Barakunle. Stubborn as an ox. So I want to plead this morning that the greatest gift that we have as we sit this morning is Jesus Christ. It's not our jobs. It's not our spouses. It's not our wealth. The greatest gift you have received, you and I sitting down this morning, if you know Jesus, you have received the best gift that God has to give to mankind. I know he doesn't feel it. It doesn't feel like that. In fact, David said it. He said, when he looked around and he looked at the prosperity of many, he saw how streets are named in their name. He wrote that in Psalm 83 or thereabout. He saw how at their deaths, there's feasting, they're famous. When they come into a group, people stand up. And we believers, we are broken and unknown. He said, he almost said, oh Lord, I have believed in vain. These people are having a dandy better time. But I said, then the Lord did something for him. He said, the Lord took him into this temple and he showed him. Then he said, ah, Lord, you have set them in slippery places. I congratulate all of us here. I don't care what your situation is this morning. You are exceedingly blessed for knowing Jesus. The Bible says it does not yet appear what it is. It does not yet. And that is the dilemma of what the gift that God has given to us. It's like you give a child, you know, maybe a certificate of some, what do you call it? That thing that you give to children, you accountants. You give them what? When a millionaire gives their children, what? Come on, I can't. There's something that it's called. A trust. The child looks at a piece of paper and looks at his friend's Ferrari and goes, what will I do with this piece of paper? But that piece of paper is tens of millions of dollars. Just wait till you are 18. And Jesus is saying, just wait till I come. Just wait till I come. Just wait. Can you now imagine the child that takes the piece of paper and flushes it down the toilet? Because his friends are oppressing him with their Ferraris and iPhone 16. So the Bible says we should not flush our fortunes down the toilet. So I want you to reflect on key. I want us to reflect not on where we are as Christians, but I want us to leave church this morning thinking about what is next? The deeper life. I'm going to read a quote before I read what we read last week. Thank you, Barakunle. A.W. Tozer says this. He said, When I talk about the deeper life, he said the deeper life. He said it only appears deeper. It appears deeper only because the average Christian life is very shallow. Do you understand that? This thing that we're talking about calling the deeper Christian life is not that we should go to the mountain. It's not how many times you fast. It's not about a seventh mountain revelation. It's not about some mystical things that you and I cannot understand. It is actually the way God intended us from birth to live. So this wise man said, the Christian life appears deeper today only because the normal Christian life is so shallow. The standard has been reduced. And this was what the writer of last week's essay was saying essentially. He said, let me take you down the memory lane. There was a movement in Nigeria which he described as the Pentecostal movement. I'll really call it a revival movement in Nigeria. Most of us who are above the age of 1980, those who are born after 1990, how old are they today? 34. Wow. 1990 children are 34 years old. Oh my goodness, I'm old. Well, if you were born in 1990, you still need 6 years or so. And by that time, it was already flaming out. So let's say those of you born after 1980, you will know what the man was talking about. And unfortunately, we haven't had such a vast revival like that, at least in my memory, both in the US and in Africa. But if you remember, mummies, you remember the outburst of when these new churches started springing up? Remember when we used to have only the Baptists and all of that? And then suddenly, our youths, Christian student fellowship started springing up. You sent children to school and they came back born again. That age, something new. Mommy, you remember that? Something new started. Was Bookie born again then? Oh, okay, I was just checking. I was just checking. Was Sister Shade born again then? Mommy, did she come back home? No. Yeah. Stubborn as an ox. But you all remember, and this man wrote about it. He said, I want to take you down the memory lane. It's a very long article, but I want to just start from there. When this movement was newly born, it came with zeal. And they began to call out the lukewarmness in the spiritual environment. I'm paraphrasing, they called it mainstream church. You could never mistaken their services for entertainment. Their services were a place where people got rededicated for the service of God. Their songs were expressions of dedication to the Lord and the love for God. Remember that? I'm going higher. Yes, I am. I'm going. Sister Ejira, is that you? It's been so long. How are you? I'm going. Were you there? Were you part of the movement? Were you part of the choir? Were you born again? Say the truth. Were you born again? Why are you born again? Why are you born again? You think. Okay. Why? There you go. There you go. There you go. It touched everywhere. How many of you here? I'm sorry. I grew up in Nigeria. Please, those of you who don't. Douglas, roll with me. We'll connect. Just roll with me briefly, okay? We'll connect. We'll connect. I wish I could use Bill Blast, but no. You got it. I was in high school then, and I was not born again. But the school, how many of you went to a federal government college here? It's up, 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 up. Okay, good, good. And there was a fellowship of Christian students that was an offshoot of this movement as well. And in universities, there were also fellowship, the student bodies, Christian bodies. And I remember that I would go to these services and they would preach the pure doctrine of Jesus Christ. And although I did not surrender to Jesus. I had no doubt every day that I'd received the truth. The students were vibrant. They were different. Some of my friends got born again. They changed. There was no denying that another spirit had come upon them. Their way of life changed. Folake, you weren't born again. Yeah, I know. Thank God. Let me tell you something about Folake. I'm not digressing. I had been preaching to her to be born again for a long, long time. It's squinting like it's a lie. So she came to the U.S., right? And then she was in New York. And because every other day I'll talk to her and we'll be... She now went to a Kirk Franklin concert. Then, because she did something Christian, she called me. Guess where I was today? I said, I was in Madison Square. I said, yeah, I went to attend a gospel service at Kirk Franklin. I said, the man that sang Stomp said, yes! And I shook my head. I have a long way to go here. But bless the Lord. We thank the Lord. The songs were expressions of dedication to the Lord and a love for Jesus. There was evangelism. And the evangelism was geared towards winning souls. They bothered everybody. They used to bother me. I would stand smoking with my friends by the roadside. And you could bet that a brother that had his shirt buttoned and a woman, a girl with a skirt all the way here, would walk up to me, say, brother, are you born again? Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, in case I lied? Do you know that Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, 1 Corinthians 2:15, I knew those, I've said it several times, I knew those passages before I started reading the Bible myself. There was always someone telling us to move higher. They were never inviting me to church. They were telling me to receive Jesus, to receive Jesus, to receive Jesus. Because there's a difference between coming to church and receiving Jesus. These leaders rejected outward religious things like the wearing of collar. You will never see pastors in those days sit in front of a church on a high chair. Not in this movement. They didn't do that. In those days, you will never even see ministers take on titles. They called themselves, no matter how old they were, how gifted they were, they called themselves brothers and sisters. So for you of this generation, when you hear me say Barabumi, you know the culture that it came from. Because we really believed we're a family of God, and Jesus is our brother, and God is our father. Right. It was a beautiful movement full of righteousness and grace. The message was in the message of God to us, that he told us to go and preach to all the world. What was it? Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That was used to be the message. Repent. We all had something to repent about. Repentance from sin and dead works. That message was loud. And you have scriptures like godliness with contentment is great gain. For me, to live is Christ, unto die is gain, which is the subtitle of today's message. Love not the world or the things of this world. You heard all of these verses. You know what the effect of that was? Because in this movement, truth was preached. Young people were converted in large numbers. It is God's word that converts. When we preach the truth as Jesus wants, the word of God itself, we find a sinner. They were not trying to make church members. They were preaching Jesus. And then what happened? Things changed. And which is why today's message is essential. Because if we are not careful, we will get caught up in the things that have changed. It became business as usual. church became a business. A few gifted leaders saw an opportunity to make money and to build themselves names. Now we have churches being passed to sons and grandfathers, and we have and fathers, and we have men being worshipped as gods, and men's books are replacing the Bible in the church of God. This is not normal. This has become the normal Christian walk. In those days, they were not attending church on Sundays. Who can finish that sentence for me? I'm just trying to get your attention. I don't want anybody to sleep. 5 minutes, it's 12:39. We'll try and finish on time today, okay? But please stay with me. They were not. Tell me, if you open the Bible, do you ever see any phrase in the Bible that says, and they attended church or they went to church? Eniola? You can Google it. One of the most popular phrases today is not found. You can never see we are going to church in the Bible. Or you can never see that they built a church in the Bible. Because in those days, church was not the building or the venue. Church was the people. So whether during service or any after service, everywhere two or more are gathered together in the name of Jesus, there was a church going on. And the head of this church was Jesus Christ. And because Jesus is a spirit, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verse 24. In John 4, God says, the time is past when we worship God in places, in locations. The time has come when the true worshiper must seek and worship God in spirit and in truth. This is the deeper Christian life. When your Christian walk has transcended locations and forms, and in your heart, you really, really want to see God. God has no stepchildren, foster children. He's interested in you personally. Believe it or not, he's created billions of people, but he knows you by name. No Christian is ordinary. Every Christian is handpicked. Listen, the Bible says you cannot become a Christian. It's impossible for you to choose God. Impossible. Because no one can come to the Lord Jesus except the Father himself. So when you hear the knock on your heart today, say, do not ignore it. You're a special person. That's the voice and the echo of God calling you to be part of a select group. Many, many people would have wanted to take your place, but it's not been given to them. Today is the day of salvation. A deeper walk with the Lord. Something went wrong. Now, it's very necessary for us to always start like this, because when we use Christian words today, it means something different. When you say church to someone who has not seen the glory of a revival, it means a building and a pastor. When you say Christians, it means a Bible thumper. It doesn't mean a lover of God anymore. So we must clarify. When we say prosperity within the church, it means the owner of that program on TV, right, that makes millions and there's a crowd gathering to listen to him. Whereas the Lord Jesus was a simple, simple man himself, taking care of the poor, loving us, having his eyes on the weakest, walking among the poor, dying for our sins. Jesus loved our souls. He loved our souls enough to come and die on the cross of Calvary for us so that we will not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. So it's not as you seem. So to the deeper Christian walk, we have an apostle in the Bible. He wrote most of the books of the New Testament. His name was Paul the Apostle, as you most of us here know. To the Philippians, he wrote a few things in Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Someone should read it for me. I have it here. To us who want to walk with God, he wrote this. And there are some of the short letters that he wrote. He wrote one to the church in Philippi, another one to the church in Ephesus, another one to the church in Thessalonica, another one to the church in Colossae, right? He wrote these letters, another one to the church in Galatia. And he wrote these short letters. And in all of them, he was calling them, they were already Christians, but he was calling them to a higher walk, a deeper walk, reminding them of things. And I'd like to just point out, as we close, some of the things. To the Philippians, he wrote, someone, who will read that for us?
For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake.
The deeper life. The deeper life. God has called you, and unfortunately, the new movement of Christianity does not believe that God has called you to anything higher than to believe in him. But Paul says no. He wrote to this church and he said, I want to remind you that God has not just called us to believe. He has also called us to be soldiers for Jesus and be ready to suffer for Jesus. And you know the amazing thing? History shows that where Christians have been persecuted, where Christians have been challenged to stand up for Jesus, you would think that there would be less Christianity, right? You know what history has shown? The church grows when we are called to the higher Christian work. Shake up the beast into the fire. I want you to know that God has not called you to simply come to church. He has not called you to simply believe in him. Arm yourself. That is what Philippians chapter 2 actually says. Paul writes into this same church. He went on and elaborated in Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5. If you can help me project it. This is Paul teaching us. And that's why most Christians are bored. You can only listen to sermons so much. You can only listen to sermons who help you to do well on your job so much until you start asking, so I really don't need these sermons to accomplish all of this. But you can never get tired of carrying the cross with Christ and following him, because that's what we're equipped to do. He said, let this mind be in you, which is also the mind that is in Jesus Christ, who, although he was comfortable, he was in the form of God. He was rested. By him, the whole world was made. Christ was made. Christ did not need any wahala in his life. Wahala means problems, Douglas. Christ was made. He existed before the foundations of the world. He commanded and angels obeyed. Kings and dynasties were formed by him. The heavenly elders bowed at the mention of his name. Christ was rich. He had what they called the exceeding richness. He made all things by him, for him, through him. All things were made. There's no glory, no God, no majesty, no wise man like Jesus of Nazareth. And yet, he put on the form of God. He did not consider it to be his right. Although it was, he did not hold on to that privilege, that right to remain as deity. He made himself of no repute. He took the form of a bond servant upon himself, although he had no business being a servant. Remember, I told you, all the kings, all principalities and powers, they bow before Jesus. And he decided to become like you and I. And the Bible says, let this be your mindset. No matter the privilege that you have today, no matter the wealth that you have, no matter the opportunities, are you ready to sacrifice it for a larger glory? God is calling you so that you will not be bored, to lay aside complacency and go to the deeper life. I have 2 minutes more. Let's roll it. And he was found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and he became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. Philippians 1:21. Here. To me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Are you ready for that as well? Has anybody told you that your life is dispensable for your Savior Jesus Christ? I'm not trying to scare you away. Let me tell you this. When you discover the life that Jesus gives, you'll be ready to throw your life, this useless life full of pain, you'll be ready to replace it with eternal life. We don't talk about eternal life enough. And whether we like it or not, we will have to give this. Everything we have is happening to us today will be forgotten. Let me look. Who is the youngest there? In 70 years. All of us, we go. But we will leave. That is the life that God is calling us to. That is the life we have to invest in. People were wondering why a lot of young Muslim youths rallied around the cause of ISIS several years ago. Remember that? Did you ever wonder why are these people, what do they see in this crazy movement, murderous movement in England that will make an English young woman and man go all the way to the Middle East and risk their life because they were called to something higher than the materialism, called to something higher than was not London, the companies. We are calling you, God is calling you to a higher calling, a more meaningful one with a more enduring reward. That's what Jesus is calling us for. Chapter 1, verse 29. For it is granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe, but also to suffer for him. There's so much more to say about this, but I'll leave it there. In Philippians 3:7, Paul said, whatever things he counted as gain, after he knew Jesus, he considered everything as rubbish. Do you consider everything as rubbish that you may know God, that you may know him, the power of his resurrection, and that you may also know the fellowship of his suffering? In the church movement that we were talking about, these were the things that they called us to. The deeper Christian walk. I challenge you to go home and say, Lord, I want to walk closer with you. Listen, you cannot know God until you know him in your pain and you know him in your joy alike. You cannot know God until he's the highest knowledge you have. Or you cannot attain to the Lord until you seek him and you want him with all your heart. And he said, you will find me. And when you seek me, after you have sought me with everything you have, no negotiations. And the more Satan tries to kill you, the more you discover the new life in Jesus. The cross was the place of salvation for us. Arm yourself with what Jesus has. You see, let me close by saying this. Brother Kunle's clock, he fast-forwarded and suddenly the clock has run out. I don't know why it runs out so quickly. So I'll close the Bible and run up. I plead with you, and I want to say this categorically. If you know God only on the average, you are not going to see his glory. I've been reading the Bible for more than 30 years. No average person will see the glory of God. He said, let no man deceive you. As God has granted us grace, we must not receive that grace in vain. Seek the Lord with all your hearts. Love him. Don't neglect the word of God. Seek the Lord your God. Don't neglect prayer under any circumstance. Say to Satan, you can take everything from me, but I know my Redeemer liveth. Remember the story of Job. Don't allow any excuse to be cold, to be lukewarm, or for Satan to tell you that God is not good, because it's a lie. Don't allow Satan to tell you that you will not receive your reward, because those who hold God faithful, that dawn will come and they will sing the song of the redeemed. That is the life of every saint that is in the Bible. It's the promise of God. God is good. His mercies endure forever. And his truth is unto all generation. And Satan is a liar. And there's nothing he will want. Especially for us, those of us who have received the gospel. There's nothing he wants more badly that our destination will be like his own. Hold on. Hold on until Jesus comes. Deeper. Don't let anybody tell you that it is enough. Don't let anybody discourage you. Know God. Moses knew God by sight, by hearing. He said, now, the only thing we're allowed to be Oliver Twist about is the knowledge of God. He said, I've heard you. I want to see you with my eyes. Brethren, the Lord bless the soul that longs for him. So I appeal to you, don't be an average Christian. The whole Christian culture to you today is saying enough. They're saying it's okay to be lukewarm. As long as you have the confession of word, it's okay. Everything I see in the Bible says we should seek the Lord with all our hearts, with all of our minds. Says we should hold on so that nobody takes our reward from us. Says we should be vigilant because the devil, we have an adversary, the devil, who is looking to destroy us. How many of us will be victorious when? How many of us have the eyes on that day when we will see Jesus? The day is coming. Encourage yourself. Those of you who are born again here, says we should look back to the place where we are fallen. We don't even hear the word repent anymore. Repent. God is gracious. He wants to forgive our sins, but we are not confessing them. We are not confessing. Confess your sin. He's merciful. There's no father, no mother as merciful as God. Confess. Nobody as tender. Who will condemn us? Is it not the same Jesus who has justified us? Confess. Believe God, don't believe man. Believe God, do not believe man. Let's walk with the Lord. Let's prove that God is faithful. Come out from among them, says the Lord, and be what? Come out from among them, says the Lord, and be what? Touch not what? Do not touch the unclean things, and then you'll be my sons and my daughters. May the Lord bless us and grant us grace. There will be a crowd on that day, but few will be chosen. I want to be part of the few. I'm not running a race to be part of the crowd. I want to be like Moses. I want to be like Abraham. I want to be like David. I want to be like Paul. I long to be like James. I want to be like those that I see that they have finished their race. Miraculously, time is up. Let us pray. I pray that you are blessed. Amen. Baradebo, come. Let's come and help me pray. Come and pray for the deeper life. Not the deeper life church. Pray for us as well. But pray that God will help us in New Covenant Church.
Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for what you have called us to do, Lord. We ask you, Father, that you please strengthen us. That you please help us in all our ways, O Lord, to walk with you, to be able to go the distance with you, Lord.
Amen.
To be able to see your face on that day that we are looking to, Father. We ask that you please Work with us. Teach our children. Teach everyone in this church that no one will be left out, Father. Amen. And on that day, Lord, you will welcome us with open arms.
Amen.
We thank you, Father. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Let us all stand as we say the grace together in fellowship. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Father, we thank you. Amen.